Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Ladies and gentlemen, that greed, for lack of a better word, is good. Greed is right. Greed works. Greed clarifies, cuts through, and captures the essence of the evolutionary spirit. Greed, in all of its forms, greed for life, for money, for love, knowledge, has marked the upward surge of mankind, and greed, you mark my words, will not only save Teldar Paper, but that other malfunctioning corporation called the USA.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday? Got to work like a slave all day. Here come Tuesday, oh, Tuesday.
All right, greed is good, greed is good. That was Michael Douglas in the incredible epic film of years ago, quite prescient, called Wall Street, in light of what's going on today. We know that the thieves on Wall Street are getting away with virtual murder. They're murdering people across America. And of course, while we know there are people who rob banks and there are people who break into homes and there are gangs roaming the streets with tattoos and they don't wear nice suits and they didn't go to Yale, they have done damage to America. It's true, the gangs, but no damage compared to what the thieves of Wall Street have done and are doing. I have become obsessed with a story that appeared on Friday, which I initiated on the Savage Nation for you, about Madoff the crook, the alleged crook, Bernie Madoff. Nice old Bernie the Wall Street trader, old Bernie, good old Bernie. Now, I couldn't stop all weekend looking for as much as I could find about Bernard Madoff. I'm going to ask you, why do you think I'm obsessed with this story? I'm going to ask you to help me. We learned today that Steven Spielberg and Mued Zuckerman may have been conned by Madoff. That's right. These smart boys who were above just about the normal things of life, they were living in their Gulfstream world. I called them Gulfstream liberals long before anyone else did. Ah, for God's sakes, limousine liberals, an old phrase. These are Gulfstream liberals, and yet we read that all of these geniuses were apparently conned by Wall Street trader Bernie Madoff. Now, Bernie Madoff can be Gecko if you saw the movie Wall Street, and there's a couple of questions I have to ask you about it today on the show, but I want to ask you, why do you think I am obsessed with this story about Bernie Madoff? Well, you're going to find out as the show goes on how it has affected you. First of all, Madoff was a huge contributor to the Democrat power structure. That's right. In fact, the biggest swindler of them all may not be Madoff. It may be Charles Schumer. Charles Schumer, according to what we learned from a story in the New York Times, has resisted regulating Wall Street for a very long period of time. Charles E. Schumer was their bag man. Charles E. Schumer is the New York senator who has reaped the fruit of millions over the years in order to make sure that these geckos, these criminals, these crooks, these thieves, these villains, these vermin could continue to rob America blind. It was Schumer who resisted any attempt to regulate them. Now, there's another subtext to the story about Madoff. Many of you know about the story, some of you don't, and I'm going to talk about it today. It's a $50 billion scam, in case you don't know anything about it. You have to look at michaelsavage.com, because most of the articles are about Madoff. Some of my headlines are my own. Some of them are from the other papers. For example, well, go below shoes thrown at Bush. We'll talk about that in a minute. Conned by Madoff, will they be bailed out too? That's what I'm asking. Madoff's scam burns charities too. Madoff made off with country clubbers' wealth. Madoff was a big Democrat donor. Will he walk? These are important stories because the ramifications are extremely deep and very long. And I want to go back again to the primary story, Madoff. He's a Wall Street broker. He was a hedge fund operator. He said that he was scamming people for years, and while he was losing money, he was reporting profits of about, I think, 12 to 15% a year. And the individuals who so-called invested with him thought that they had gold. In fact, this guy was such a good con man, according to the articles, that he would reject people. You had to know someone to get into his club, in other words, in order to have him invest your money. You couldn't get in there. I'm sure they wouldn't let me in there. It didn't matter whether you had enough money. The question was, did you know someone who could get near Bernie? Oh, Bernie. Bernie, the kid from Queens who was a lifeguard, who worked his way up to this position where he could screw every charity from here to from Brooklyn to Boca, according to the articles. Now, there's a subtext here, and we're going to have the author on shortly, and it was written by Lawrence Lehmer over the weekend. And the title of his article on this scam is Jewish Circuit's Faith is Shaken. It is very important that I talk about the Jewish element in this scam. And the primary reason I must mention it is because most of the people who were screwed were Jewish. Make no mistake about it. The anti-Semites are alive and well all over the internet saying this shows that, you know, people of the Jewish faith are thieves and this and that. They have it exactly wrong. It shows that Bernard Madoff, who was Jewish, conned 99% of the people he conned were Jewish people who had faith in him. That's an interesting story of why. How is it that people who were intelligent enough to make fortunes and worked so hard all their lives, had the canniness to save their money, could get conned by Bernie Madoff? What was it about the situation in which they found themselves that permitted them to be robbed? How could a Spielberg or a Zuckerman, who thinks they're so smart, and apparently they're smart enough, how could they get conned by Madoff? How is it possible? Well, I've done some thinking about it, and I've analyzed it and read enough articles to bring up the word insular, cocoon. Insular and cocoon, these words come to mind. These people who were conned lived in a closed world, an exclusive world that Madoff took advantage of. You know, it says, joy is driving out of your 35,000-square-foot mansion in your Bentley and tooling up to the entrance of Mar-a-Lago for your 15th ball of the season. The valet parkers salivating at the chance to take your car and the prospect of a $20 tip. We're talking about Palm Beach. Joy is having a wife younger and thinner than any of the other wives at your table. Joy is subtly announced during dinner that your hedge fund scored 33% last year, while that of the arrogant SOB across the table with the fat wife scored only 17%. Those with the biggest financial gains generally had their money managed by Madoff. It was an honor having him handle your fortune. I'm reading from Lawrence Lehmer's article, Jewish Circuit's Faith is Shaken. Now, the question is, how did this happen to them? If they're all such wonderfully intelligent businessmen, how could they have been fleeced by Madoff? That's one question. The second question is this. As the story is told, Madoff went to his sons who worked in his firm. They're adults, by the way, in their 50s. And he said to them, it's all a scam, it's all a Ponzi scheme, I have no money, I'm broke, basically I have nothing. And they went to their lawyer, who then went to the FBI. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Madoff's sons knew nothing about this for the last 20 years? Do you actually believe that that money is missing? Or do you have a suspicion that that money is sequestered somewhere, let's in the Cayman Islands or God knows where? I'm also opening up to the phones to anyone who may have lost money with Bernie Madoff. If you've lost money with Madoff and you have something to say on the Savage Nation, the phone number is 1-800-449-8255. At the bottom of the hour, I will have Lawrence Lehmer on, who knows an awful lot about the Jewish wealth circuit of Palm Beach. He will be joining us. He is a columnist who lives in Palm Beach. He has a book called Madness Under the Royal Palms, Love and Death Behind the Gates of Palm Beach, which will be out in January, which I can't wait to read, by the way, because this guy seems to have his finger on the pulse of this country club mentality. And I want to ask him how he thinks these people who think they're so smart, in fact, they must have been smart at some point in their life, how did they get fleeced by him? We're also going to talk about the shoe incident with George Bush. I'm sure you've all seen the, on the one hand, laughable, on the other hand, frighteningly tragic tape of our president looking like a carnival geek, ducking as an Iraqi journalist throws a pair of shoes at him, missing by, it looks like centimeters, Bush's right eye. The first thing I thought when I saw the shoes flying was disbelief. I said, this can't be real. I, you know, when it came up, then I said, wow, this guy has good aim, the Iraqi, and Bush has good reflexes. But then a question came to me. Where was the Secret Service? They should all be fired. As far as I'm concerned, Bush's agents are garbage. They're worthless. This should never have happened. Now you say, well, how could you control for a shoe? Well, you can't control for a shoe being thrown, but the first rule of a bodyguard, particularly for a CEO, and especially for a head of state, is that the first sign of a danger, you put your body on the line. You throw yourself between your charge, meaning George Bush, the president, and the threat. There was not one Secret Service agent to be seen. Yeah, the guy who threw the shoes was tackled in the back. And I understand George Bush waved off his Secret Service agent after the fact. But as far as I'm concerned, there are a bunch of flat-footed deadbeat cops who all should be dismissed. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Regulatory environment.
Let's stop right now. I got to introduce this tape. We're talking about the scam of scams. The new, you know, you've all heard of the Ponzi scheme. Forget Ponzi. Ponzi is passe. The new scheme is the Madoff scheme. The Ponzi scheme is something of the past. The new word is the Madoff. $50 billion, according to the reports. We are flooded with calls today on the Savage Nation of people who lost money with Madoff. And we're going to take those calls because I don't think any other show has let them get through, but they're going to get through here on the Savage Nation. I want you to hear this man Madoff in 2007. According to the reports, at this point, he knew he was already robbing people blind. This is at a roundtable crisis about Wall Street. Listen to these clips 3 and 4 back to back.
In today's regulatory environment, it's virtually impossible to violate rules. And this is something that the public really doesn't understand. And you, if you read things in the newspaper and you see somebody, you know, violate a rule, you say, well, you know, they're always doing this. But you, it's impossible for you to go for a violation to go undetected. Certainly not for a considerable period of time. The nature of any human being, certainly anyone on Wall Street, is, you know, the better deal you give the customer, the worse deal it is for you, because you're on the other side of the transaction. It's like going into any store. You know, the store sells you.
Did you listen to what this sick mind, in my opinion, just said? The better the deal you give the customer, the worse it is for you. It is scum like this who has destroyed the world. It is scum like this that has destroyed America. It is scum like this that has destroyed virtually every aspect of your life. Listen to me. I know businessmen who make a good living who give their customers a good deal. This piece of human offal, if it is true what they're saying about this man, I'd like to see him cleaning toilets in Haiti for the rest of his natural life, as well as his grandchildren. I want you to listen to what this piece of offal just said. Play it again so the people can hear it.
The nature of any human being, certainly anyone on Wall Street, is, you know, the better deal you give the customer, the worse deal it is for you, because you're on the other side of the transaction. It's like going into any store. You know, the store sells you a television at a higher price, they're going to make more money. They sell you the lower price, their profit, you know, goes down accordingly. So the, you know, as honest as you can find, you try and get people to be, there's this normal, natural pull, you know, that you have to deal with.
Only if it's scum like you, Madoff. Madoff, I wish to God I could sit in a room with you and look at you. I'd like to see you today in your Park Avenue, Upper East Side house. I'd like to sit across from you, and I'd like to tell you a few things, Madoff. But since I can't get into your building because a man like you wouldn't let me in your building. You see, a man like you sat on the board of the co-op, Madoff, to make sure that only the cream of the crop could get into your rotten, stinking co-op so you could rob them blind, according to the stories, Madoff. But there's certain things I'd like to say to you that I'm going to say on WOR in New York, which is listened to by an awful lot of people, and around America, almost 300 or more stations, 8 to 10 million people a week, Madoff. You are a new verb in the English language. Now we're going to ask about your sons. They worked with you for 20 years, and we're supposed to believe they knew nothing about your greed or your contempt for humanity or about the money that you allegedly stole from people? Because where is the money, Madoff? Where did it go? That's what people are asking. Did your children take it? Are you hiding it somewhere? Let's take the callers from around the country. Chicago, Mel, quickly. You were invested with this guy? Mel. Bingo. First off, out of the gate, not there. Love it. 1-800-449. Terry, New York, WOR. Go ahead, please.
Hi. I got a phone call on Saturday morning from my sister that my 80-year-old father was flat broke. He took every penny since 1997. Every penny that he earned his whole life. And it's gone.
It's
gone.
And
when I finally caught up with him at the end of the day, over $10 million, and when I finally had the nerve to call him on Saturday afternoon and say to him, Dad, you're so smart. How? And he said, I felt like I hit the lottery, that this man was willing to take me on as a customer. I thought he was the
B.O. Terry, that's exactly what I've been reading. This insular Jewish world of Palm Beach. I have to say it like it is, Terry, because it's largely wealthy Jewish people who got conned by a Jewish man. And that is why the Jewish element is being talked about in the media without casting aspersions upon the Jewish faith or Jewish people. This man took advantage of people within his own circle. Am I right about that?
You're absolutely right. My mother, who lives in Mexico, got a phone call from her friends in Florida, all these people from Palm Beach who knew
right.
everybody
That's
else.
Exactly right. That's exact, Terry. You're not alone, but we're going to talk about the psychosis and the psychology of the con man and the conned when I come back on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
In today's regulatory environment, it's virtually impossible to violate rules. And this is something that the public really doesn't understand. And if you read things in the newspaper and you see somebody, you know, violate a rule, you say, well, you know, they're always doing this. But it's impossible for you to go for a violation to go undetected, certainly not for a considerable period of time.
That's Wall Street trader Bernie Madoff at a conference shortly after the subprime mortgage crisis was becoming evident in 07. It was unbelievable when you look back upon it. Now, we're talking about a $50 billion scam. People are wiped out. And before we have our guest, Lawrence Lamer, who has an awful lot of inside knowledge about the world, the insular world of the Palm Beach world, of the Palm Beach Country Club. It's an amazing story. I want to reiterate something. Groucho Marx once said, I wouldn't join any club that would have me as a member. But his brother, Harpo, the lesser known of the Marx brothers, said something about Wall Street. When Harpo was asked about Wall Street, Harpo was alleged to have said, I prefer casinos. They have cold drinks and women. Lawrence Lamer, welcome to the Savage Nation. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me, Michael.
Lawrence, your article is amazing in the New York Post, and I can't wait to read your book, which is coming out, Madness Under the Royal Palms, Love and Death Behind the Gates of Palm Beach. Lawrence, how did people who made money on their own, most of them, they worked hard, they were smart enough to make money, they had street smarts, what happened to their street smarts that they could be conned by a guy like this?
Well, you just said a few minutes ago, it became this extraordinarily insular world. Palm Beach is divided between Jews and Gentiles in a way I've seen nowhere else in America or nowhere else in the world. They don't socialize with each other. They have a totally different world. The Jews were kept in a ghetto. Basically, there was one hotel where they could go. There was one beach club, and there was the country club. That's the way it was for most of Palm Beach history. And the Jews basically, the Stockholm Stockholm syndrome, where if you're a prisoner, you identify with your captor or the person who mistreats you. And in a sense, the Jewish residents in Palm Beach could not get into these restricted clubs, but they created in the Palm Beach Country Club their replica of that, and which took on the worst characteristics of the West world, a very insular world, a very snobbish world, that looked down on other Jewish residents of the island. They thought they were the blessed.
I see. So in other words, I get it. Now, Lawrence, we're having a little I'm going to disconnect Lawrence and reconnect him, please. I want to again talk about what we're talking about. The Wall Street trader, 70-year-old Madoff, allegedly the center of a $50 billion scam, took down a majority of the 300 members of the Palm Beach Country Club, as well as those of a number of banks in Europe and a number of wealthy WASPs who are tripped over themselves to get into his investment scheme. This is how the man worked it. Everybody wanted to get next to Bernie Madoff because he was producing 12 to 15% interest a year or earnings a year when, you know, you were making, what, 1%, 2% in the bank? I mean, I have some money. Where is it? It's in T-bills or something like that. It makes nothing. And so there were times, oh, why can't I get into a hedge fund? Oh, why can't I get into a Bernie's hedge fund? I didn't even know who Bernie was, but how come I can't get in there? Lawrence, are you back with us? Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Larry, are you with us? Okay, just let me know when we're back up. So Lawrence Lamer lives down there, and he understands the mentality of this. And in his new book, Madness Under the Royal Palms, is going to tell you a little bit more about the people in Palm Beach and how they could have conned themselves into believing that they were going to make money. But some of this man's writing is amazing, and I'm going to repeat some of it. Lawrence, are you back with us? Lawrence, welcome back
to
the Savage Nation.
Yes, sure am.
Lawrence, I love your writing when you say joy is driving out of your 35,000-square-foot mansion in your Bentley and tooling up to the entrance of Mar-a-Lago for your 15th ball of the season. And I love your next paragraph. Joy is having a wife younger and thinner than any of the other wives at your table. Joy is subtly announced during dinner that your hedge fund scored 33% last year, while that of the arrogant SOB across the table with the fat wife scored only 17%. So Madoff was a genius at getting people into thinking that it was a deal just to get next to him, right?
Yeah, and he seduced you. I mean, you wanted to give him the money. He didn't hustle you, seemingly. You know, mm-hmm. He's very, very subtle about it. And some people, he might even take your money. And for starters, you might want to give him $1 million, and he would say, well, gee, just give $100,000 and see how it goes. And you think, what a great guy. And after a year, give him every cent you have in the world.
Oh, my God. Now you talk about a man who was generous and kind, who gave away more than $100 million to charity. And he told you that both his company's retirement plan and his charitable foundation had been handled by Madoff, and he thinks he's bankrupt and completely ruined. Is that a common story that you're hearing, Mr. Lamer?
Yeah, this is a man. His name is Bob Lapham, and he still has money. He has money, but his charitable foundation is finished, and all the retirement in his company is finished.
Now, wait a minute. I also heard that he took down the retirement fund for Fairfield, Connecticut. Is that true?
Yeah, it's just all, you know, the thing about it, Michael, is that every hour there are more people that are hurt on this, the ramifications of it. It's just extraordinary. There's a restaurant in Palm Beach called Amici. And last Thursday evening, just an ordinary night at the restaurant, and suddenly somebody gets a cell phone call and jumps up screaming. And within 10 minutes, there's just people shrieking in this restaurant.
God, I'm sorry. I can't help it. I mean, I'm just imagining this scene almost in a semi-comic way.
Yeah, but you know, listen, Michael, you are concerned with spiritual and moral issues, and that's what this is. It's not just about economics. There's something morally went wrong here, and I think that's what is so ultimately so upsetting about this. Not just the money that's lost, but this community of Palm Beach where people can obsess with money and obsess with one-upping each other, and this was the end result of it.
Wow. Well, you and I could sit and have a philosophical discussion that would last hours for you, having just said that. Obviously, you listened to my show Friday when I got obsessed with the spiritual dimensions of this crisis, because that's what it says to me. Now, many of these people are good people. They gave a lot of money away to good causes, didn't they, Lawrence?
No, no, no. If you had this, if you had a Christian club and the same thing had happened, and it certainly could have happened, you wouldn't have this massive amount of charity money. I mean, the Jews are just incredible. It's part of being Jewish and wealthy. You almost have to give to charity, or your people don't have anything to do with you.
Is that the truth about the Palm Beach Country Club? And your article, it says that in order to get in, you have to have been giving money away. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, it's very hard to get into. You've got to give it a great deal of money away, mainly to Jewish charities. And there are 300 members, and there's only one Christian of the 300 members.
Did he get robbed too, or he was smart enough to stay out of the scheme?
No, David Koch is a billionaire. I don't think has $3 or $4 billion. I don't think he was hit.
Oh God. Well, there, you know, you can laugh at this or you can cry at it, depending upon which side of the aisle you are. But I'm getting calls today from people, Mr. Lamer, I had a call just before you came on of a woman who said her father, 80 years old, lost $10 million. Every penny he had, he's wiped out, completely gone. How is that possible? Does that mean, look, let's take it from the top. He claims he was a $50 billion scam, according to the reports that he told the FBI agent. But where'd the money go? Did he lose the money on bad trades, or is it hidden somewhere?
Well, no, it's a classic Ponzi scheme where you don't have that. You're giving a higher rate of return than you normally would get, and to keep up for that, you just have to have more and more money coming in. And that's one thing that's been wrong in some of these news stories. It wasn't that people were trying to redeem it. It was that he wasn't getting the new customers he was used to getting because of the bad economy.
Oh, so it wasn't that people called for the $17 billion that they needed because of the credit crunch. It was that he didn't have new bottom feed, new people to feed from.
Yeah, he was just used to doing that. And oh, I listened to what you said. I totally agree. No way did one guy do this. I think he fell on the sword to protect a lot of people.
Bingo. I totally see it that way. I think he knew it was all going down. He figured he's old anyway. He doesn't want to take his family with him.
No, and I'm very suspicious. I know nothing about this. It's just conjecture. But I'm very suspicious of his two sons turning him in. It just sounds like you're desperate. You know you're going to be hit. And this is what you do. So I think he's trying to protect his sons.
Where was the SEC? What in the heck is wrong with an SEC that doesn't do its job? Why is Chris Cox still in that job? Do you have any comments on that?
I mean, look, I know you're a conservative. I voted for Obama. And I'm fully believe in capitalism, the genius of capitalism, but we have to have regulation, and we just haven't had it. We've got to have that.
But I agree. Wait a minute. I may be a conservative, but I'm a classic conservative, not one of these fakers. I totally believe in regulation. I'm not one of these laissez-faire capitalists where anything goes. That, to me, has led to all of this crookery. I want regulation. In fact, when this all started, I was talking about the fact that the reason we had the meltdown in 1929 was because people were buying on margin. All of that went away, by the way, as you well know. I think it was in 1999 when Bill Clinton did away with the regulation.
Yeah, no. There's plenty of blame to go around.
Yeah. And again, this is not a conservative liberal discussion, really. It's a much deeper discussion than that. Do you think that this man will be found guilty and actually spend time in jail?
You know, there's this guy, Jeffrey Epstein, here in Palm Beach, who sexually abused underage kids, okay?
I know the story. Yeah, I read about it.
Okay. He should have gone away for 30 years. He got fancy lawyers. He got 18 months in the jail, and now he's out on work release 6 days a week. That's why people think there's a double standard for the wealthy and the rest of us.
Wow. Wow, that's terrible. That would be such a terrible thing to pull off this kind of scam and walk away from it. Tell us about your book, Mr. Lamer. I can't wait to read it. It's called Madness Under the Royal Palms. What is it about?
Well, I've lived in Palm Beach since 1994, and it took me all those years to get inside. So I'm inside the Jewish world, the WASP world, and it's this interlocking group of stories of these people. There are two murders in it. There's the social ambition. There's tragedy. It's a story of what really has happened in the community. And you can read this what's happened now in the scandal. You can see it's almost inevitable when you read my book. And if anybody's interested, my website is Lamer, LEAMER.com. Lamer.com, and you can read about the book. And I also have a blog there where it's a lot about what's happening in Palm Beach.
I can't wait to go on it, frankly. And we have loads of callers, believe it or not, who lost money with Madoff, who are waiting to call the show right now. When did you finish this book, by the way?
Last summer.
So all of this isn't. So the Madoff scandal's not even going to be in it. You got to write a postscript immediately.
Yeah, but you know what? It's a philosophical, spiritual tragedy, and that's what my book is about. I mean, it's all in that. What you read about that was a direct quote from that book about what the joy. There's no real joy. It's about money. It's about showing off. It's about having. It's a community that pretends it's about culture. It's society. It's about money. What matters?
Okay, it's all pretentiousness. In other words, in plain English.
Exactly.
Wow. Well, Lawrence, you live in Palm Beach. Are you a member of the Palm Beach Country Club?
I'm a member of no club, and after my book comes out, I'm not going to be going to some of them.
Well, then wait a minute. Then you and I should form our own country club. You'd be the liberal. I'd be the conservative. At least we'd be in a club that no one else would want to be in.
Well, we'd be with somebody we'd like to talk to, also.
Lawrence Lamer, good luck with your book. I cannot believe it. I can't wait to read it because it is about ultimately tragedy. This is ultimately about the fall of mankind. It's the fall from grace. It's everything imaginable, all in one ball of one story, rather. Thank you so much for being with us on The Savage Nation.
Thanks for having me.
Great, great call. What a story. Look, I've been obsessed with it. My family kept saying to me, why are you obsessed with this story? All weekend long, all I did was look for articles. I did a search on Madoff on every site imaginable, you name it. I had to go to sites I had never been on. I had to go to obscure blogs to start to dig up some more nuggets about this. Of course, it's going to become bigger as the week goes on, unless his reach is so great that the newspapers are owned by the people who got conned and they've already thrown cold water on it. I don't really know. But I know this. I'm going to dig as much as I can into this for a million reasons. And I want to ask you something, my audience. Why am I obsessed with this? I don't have a dime in the stock market. I don't have a nickel in a hedge fund. So I have nothing at stake in this world. In other words, I don't have any money in stocks. I have no money in hedge funds. I never heard of this guy, Bernie Madoff. I have an extremely wealthy friend who's super well connected in financial circles who never heard of Madoff. He didn't even know who he was. This is an interesting story unto itself. Here is a man who flew under the radar except for a small group of people who he conned. And again, we have to go back to the main story, is the psychosis and the psychology of the con man and the con. Now here comes the punchline. Madoff created, in essence, a Ponzi scheme. Are you telling me that the Social Security system is not a Ponzi scheme? The system created by Franklin Delano Roosevelt, where you have to have new people coming in to put in money to pay the people who went in first? You're telling me that's not a gigantic Madoff scheme? I'll go a step further. $2 trillion of your money has been lent by Hank Paulson, no relative of Bernie, but old Hanky Paulson, the Treasury Secretary, allegedly has lent $2 trillion. Nobody knows except him and a few people within Treasury who got the $2 trillion. Why are we not being allowed to find out who got it? Now I'll go to the next step. I linked an article up from the Times on michaelsavage.com, and it shows Charles Schumer sitting with a few people. A champion of Wall Street reaps benefits. In the middle of the couch next to old Chuck Schumer is a man named Neil T. Kashkari, who is the single official in charge of the $700 billion federal bailout. I couldn't believe this. Who's Neil Kashkari? How could an engineer be in charge of a $700 billion handout? Well, I read carefully. Mr. Kashkari was a pretty brilliant engineer, and apparently he worked for a defense contractor called TRW along the way. So do the pieces start to fall in place? Why are we the people not entitled to know if some of this money, the $700 billion bailout, or most of the money is going to some of this man's old contacts? How much went to Paulson's friends on Wall Street? How much is going to Goldman Sachs? How much is going to TRW? How much of the money is going to other defense contractors? Why are we not allowed to know of it? So when you say Madoff with $50 billion, yeah, that's terrible. But what about $2 trillion? Where'd that money go? I'll be right back.
Savage.
got 90% of the American public out there with little or no net worth. I create nothing. I own. We make the rules, pal. The news, war, peace, famine, upheaval, the price of a paperclip. We pick that rabbit out of the hat while everybody sits out there wondering how the hell we did it. Now, you're not naive enough to think we're living in a democracy, are you, buddy? It's the free market.
It's the free market. We're looking at the psychosis and the psychology of the con man and the conned. In the case of Bernie Madoff, if we can read the reports, according to the reports, he himself said it's a Ponzi scheme and he has nothing. But there are people across the landscape of the wealthy enclaves of America who are wiped out today. Foundations are gone. Charities gone. Where's the money? And the question is, how did these smart people get conned? And we're looking at that. And I've asked you if you lost money with this character to call the show. We have a few amazing callers. I'd like you to call anybody in this circle that you know who lost money with them and vent on this show, because I don't think there's any other radio show in this country that has opened up the lines to this scam. And this is now, when you say Ponzi scheme, throw that out the window. Say Madoff scheme. If we can believe what we are reading, and we don't know if it's true or false that he admitted to this, then throw away the word Ponzi and put in the name Madoff. Justin in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. How are you?
Did you lose money with this character?
Yes, I did. Bernie Madoff with my money.
Now, look, you're listening to this show regularly, or this is the first time?
I'm a longtime listener, Dr. Savage.
How did you get snookered into this?
Well, I actually have a lot of background for you to help you, inform you more about this scheme that a lot of people are unaware of.
Then here's what we're going to do, Justin. I have only 30 seconds in this hour. Would you be kind enough to let my guys call you back on a landline at the top of the next hour? We're going to give you an exclusive shot at this because I want to learn more about this.
And I do have some inside information for you.
Yeah, I mean, this is no joke. Did you lose everything?
Listen, I'm a 27-year-old future doctoral candidate. I was saving my money, and all the money that I was saving for my education was lost.
Okay, stay on the line. When I come back, the psychosis of the con man.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Absolutely shocked and appalled. I have no idea whether I have zero or all or anything in between.
Wall Street is one big turf war. So as Elsa just said, by benefiting one person, you're disadvantaging another person. And the basic concept of Wall Street, which sometimes the regulators lose sight of, and as do the academics, is it's a for-profit enterprise. The person that is buying a share of stock is convinced he knows something that the other person who's selling it to him does not know. There's no zero-sum game in Wall Street.
Blue Monday, how I hate Blue Monday. Got to work, flag a sleeve on deep. Here come Tuesday.
We are talking about a $50 billion Wall Street scam that has left people's mouths open across America. If you have been scammed in this new Ponzi scheme, which we're calling a Madoff scheme, if what we read is true, then it's beyond comprehension that these people who think they're so smart could be ripped off like this. Call me at 1-800-449-8255. Again, if you listen to Madoff himself in that last clip from 2007, What the man is saying is that this is a for-profit business. But you know, I know businessmen who are quite wealthy, and they made very good profits, but they provided products that people wanted at a good price. They didn't assume that you had to rob the other guy and leave him broken in the gutter to make a profit. So this is not so much an indictment of the capitalist system as it is of vultures and vermin who should have been controlled by a government who has a job. There's a job of a government, which is to protect us, whether it be the military or regulation. We're supposed to be protected by a government. George Bush has failed us on virtually every level. He has not protected us from the scum and the vultures of Wall Street who think that their job is to rob you blind until they're caught. Where is the SEC? Where has the SEC been? What about this doofus, Chris Cox? Why is that man still on Wall Street? The answer is because he is exactly who Charles Schumer wants there. Charles Schumer is the problem. He has tried to stop regulation every step of the way, according to an article that came out in the New York Times, which I listed up on michaelsavage.com. Story number two is the story of the shoes being thrown at our president. It doesn't matter whether or not you like President Bush or his policies. What matters to me is that the Secret Service should be fired. The entire detail of the Secret Service failed the president from my point of view. Now, why do I say it? Because it's clear to me that they didn't do their job. After that first shoe sailed right past the president's eye, the job of the Secret Service would be to become a body for him. That's what a bodyguard is called. They put their body on the line in front of the president. They didn't do it. They're a bunch of deadbeat losers, as far as I'm concerned. Now they're putting out a press release. Secret Service shows unusual restraint in bizarre shoe incident. There was no unusual restraint. There was complete and total chaos and failure. Now, the interesting part here is that listen to the press release. At least five other American agents poured in from the exit behind the president, took three positions in front of the president, and other agents rushed into them. That was after the shoes were thrown. It says no visible weapons were drawn, which seems to show unusual restraint. Since agents are trained to assume that any assault is part of a broader attack by not one but several assailants, these Secret Service agents are the lowest. They're the bottom of the barrel. And it tells me a lot of things that I don't want to say right now. I was appalled to see that second shoe. Even the first shoe, by the way, should have been blocked by a Secret Service agent. If he had anybody who was good, they would have leapt up in front of the president and blocked that shoe. But to see a second one coming and not one of these doofuses did anything to protect the president, complete and total breakdown of security for the president. That's a very important story. If you care to comment, if you're in the business of executive protection, tell me if you think I'm wrong, because I know I'm right. And I want to remind you something else. Our biggest ally 10 years ago in Afghanistan was killed. The head of the Northern Alliance, movie star, handsome guy. He ran the Northern Alliance. You know how he was killed? He let a so-called journalist into his hideout who was a member of Al-Qaeda. And the so-called journalist had a bomb inside of his camera, which he used to kill the head of the Northern Alliance. So don't tell me there were no visible weapons. The weapons were the shoes. If the president did not have such quick reflexes, one or both of those shoes would have struck him right in the eye. He could have been blinded, or God knows what could have happened. The Secret Service is a total loser organization with regard to the presidential detail. That's my opinion. What's yours? 1-800-449-8255. Justin in New York, you're calling about the Madoff scandal. Go ahead, please.
Sure. I'm not quite even sure where to begin, Michael. Basically, I have some information that you would probably find interesting, as well as the rest of the listenership. This scheme at one point, it's my understanding, based on, the family tie that I have going back to an accounting firm, Avalue, in the...
Justin, we can't go through a long, long detail. You lost money. He took your parents' money, we understand. Is it because you felt that you were a member of a club that others couldn't get into?
No, not at all. I mean, basically, you have to understand this. My grandma was a bookkeeper. She invested as a bookkeeper of this accounting firm. That's how my family ended up investing in this. We're far from being rich people, and there have to be others like my...
So we keep reading that it's the millionaires, but you're saying you're not millionaires. So how did he take your money if it wasn't the minimum $1 million that apparently you needed to get into his exclusive club?
My mother was a bookkeeper. were at an accounting. 92, the SEC did an investigation. We're illegally selling securities and raising money for Madoff.
Oh.
All the way back in 1992.
So who did? How did he get away with this then? If he's been investigated,
I haven't the slightest clue. Obviously, the SEC is culpable.
The SEC is culpable. Absolutely, Chris Cox should have been fired when the bank meltdown began 4 months ago. But apparently, Charles Schumer wants him there because he's a paper tiger, and they want no regulation of Wall Street. Justin, I'm sending you a free copy of Psychological Nudity, Savage Radio Stories. At least you'll have something to read for Hanukkah or Christmas, whatever you'd like. And incidentally, folks, I just checked with my fulfillment house. If you order any day this week, I am paying the extra shipping charges for like 2-3 day delivery. So you'll get it for the holidays. Psychological Nudity on michaelsavage.com. It is not available anywhere else, not in the bookstores either. Maybe it'll bring you some cheer. You know, it's an interesting thing that I think about my book. I came from a humble family. Am I proud of it? Not proud of it. You know, everybody waves around that they started poor today. Even they all started poor. Listen, I would rather have been born rich, to be honest with you. I would rather my father was a senator, but he wasn't. So there's no nobility in poverty. Let me make that very clear. In fact, I found the opposite to be true. The poor people are usually the worst people in the world, according to my experience. It's the people who have money and are comfortable who generally are nicer people to be around, who can give something to somebody. Poor people generally are very mean, because they're desperate. So I don't think there's any nobility in poverty. Don't get me wrong here. I'm not a flaming Che Guevara of the poor. Don't get me wrong. I respect wealth that's earned honestly. I just detest people who made their money dishonestly and robbed people. I want to clear that up right now. If you want to call about either issue, the Secret Service failure, or if you disagree with me and think they did just a great job, fine. Or the other story, 1-800-449-8255. San Francisco, Aaron, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. What's your topic?
George Bush, our president, getting the shoes thrown at him. You know, right or wrong, like the man or not, what you say about the Secret Service, this is the second time we've seen an event like this. Unfortunately, during the tragic events of 9/11, a person comes over and just whispers in his ear and doesn't extract him from that classroom. Classroom, press room, what's the difference? What are these men doing that they're getting paid to do?
I don't know, but when one thing is whispering in his ear years ago. But were you shocked when you watched those shoes flying?
Yes. One shoe, a great aim. Second shoe, like you said, he should have been on the ground with a body on top of him.
Well, never mind. Yeah, either on the ground or a Secret Service agent literally could fly through the air by springing to his feet and doing almost a football body block of the second shoe. Whoever did not do that should be fired immediately. That's my opinion. They did not do their job. That's my position. Now, maybe there's some professionals out there who agree with me. Gary in New York, I understand you're a bodyguard. Do you agree with me or disagree with me?
You're absolutely 110%, Mike. First of all, when they come in, the guards should have pushed him down below them on practically to his knees. The guard should have been protected. Also, the shoes being thrown could have been a distraction from another person out there in the audience. The thing about it, they should have escorted him also out of the room, out of the area completely.
Yes, off the stage. In other words, right after the first shoe. But let's go back to the first shoe. Am I wrong in saying that after the first shoe, which the president deftly ducked, it shows he has great reflexes, incidentally, an older, slower man would have been hit in the eye, Gary, by what I saw. You agree with that?
I agree 100%.
The man could have been blinded, God forbid. All right, but at that point, would you not expect the bodyguard to fling himself in front of the president?
Absolutely, and also get him down towards his knees. Block his your complete body. I'm 340 pounds, Mike. I throw my body 6'4". All right, I had a situation with a celebrity. I threw my body right in front of them. That's what you're paid for. You're there to protect it and escort him out of the facility into a car and away from the scene completely. This could have been a setup.
It's a shame you don't live in San Francisco, Gary. I'd hire you immediately.
Thank you, Mike.
We don't have any bodyguards that are that big out here. They're not allowed to come west of the Hudson River. Everybody out here has to look svelte and beautiful, but I got news for you. It looks to me like you could sneeze at most of them they go over.
Yeah, right. I got you. Anyway,
no, but Gary, in all seriousness, there's some great guys out here in your business. I still think that a good bodyguard would have sprung literally to his feet like a Bruce Lee and caught the second shoe in his own face or his own hands. Isn't that what's expected of a Secret Service agent? Aren't they supposed to be the elite?
Yes, and I'm also shocked that the reporters, that Bush was praising the reporters. None of the reporters next to this guy came in to shuffle this guy down either. And then Bush got up there.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that. The other reporters were looking at him like they didn't know what happened.
They didn't do anything. They did absolutely nothing. Yet Bush was praising them, saying, oh, well, all these reporters disdain what has been done. But nobody took physical action to subdue this guy until the security guys came back there.
Well, Gary, I'm going to send you a Christmas present. Even though you're 340 pounds, I can't add any pages to the book. I can only send you the book as it's printed, which is 205 pages. If I could rewrite it, I'd add another 200 pages for you, Gary, because you've got a big appetite, but you're getting a free copy of Psychological Nudity. Stay on the line. I'll be right back.
Savage.
So what if the guy threw a shoe at me? I consider it an important step on the road toward an Iraq that can sustain itself, govern itself, and defend itself. But let me talk about the guy throwing the shoe. Is one way to gain attention. It's like going to a political rally and having people yell at you. It's like driving down the street and have people not gesturing with all five fingers.
You know, I'm concerned about the president's state of mind for him to make statements like this. First of all, they're not funny. That's number one. You know, up until now, we've been talking today about the psychosis and the psychology of the con man and the conned. But this indicates to me a detachment from reality. I believe the Secret Service failed the president. I believe the president's reflexes is what kept him healthy. And, you know, thank God the man is fit. And that he exercises and he ducked quickly. Thank God for that. The Secret Service in that room failed him, in my opinion. I've said that before. I've had experts call me who agree with me. And yet we hear the president himself trying to put the best spin on it. I understand that. But that's not funny saying that's a way to attract attention. What kind of message does that send to people? They should throw pies at you and shoes at the next president? That's absurd. It's all wrong. We have two topics to talk about. Madoff, who made off with all of that money, allegedly, and the bodyguards, did they do the job, yes or no? Okay? New York City, WOR. Jack, go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. How are you doing this evening?
Good. What's up?
I'm a police officer in New York, about 28 years. I've worked alongside the Secret Service on details guarding Mrs. Bush, and we all sat there in our squad room and said, where was the Secret Service? Why, after the first shoe, wasn't this guy having his head drilled into the ground?
Thank you. No, but wait, that's a given. What about the fact that no Secret Service agent threw himself in front of the president? As I understand executive protection, let alone, you know, protection of a president, isn't it their job to get between the threat and the man they're protecting?
Yes, they should. Somebody should have been right in front of him or shuffle him out of there, because suppose he had an explosive or something. He snuck in. I mean, then what happens?
Well, let's say there was no explosive. They went through bomb sniffer and this and that, and it was only the shoes. But even still, after the first shoe, to me, a guy should have thrown himself in front of the president and blocked the second. Yes or no?
Absolutely.
All right, so what is going on inside that particular detail, do you think, by what you I mean, you've been around this business, I haven't. Do you think that there's been a collapse in terms of quality of people that they're picking?
I think the quality of people is still there. I just think that they just were asleep at the wheel for this one. I think they figured this was a setup audience. You know, these people were prior approved. This was a setup for Bush, and it backfired on them, and they just were caught off guard.
Now, that's an extra, the second part of the story. He went there unannounced to Iraq as sort of a going away, a goodwill PR move, right? To show that everything's fine in Iraq when we all know, God knows what will happen a year from now, let alone 3 months from now. Now his legacy is that of a president who had shoes thrown at him by a disgruntled Iraqi reporter. Unfortunately, that's what's going to be remembered here, isn't it, Jack?
Dr. Savage, I agree. I mean, I sat there, I mean, you know,
my jaw fell open. I couldn't believe. I thought somebody made it up. I said, I can't believe this is happening. There was no protection there.
There wasn't. I mean, they should all. I mean, right now they should all be being told: if you're ready for retirement, put it in. If not, you're going to.
Thank you. I certainly would hope that President Obama has a better security detail around them than that one.
Savage.
Size 10 shoe.
It's not funny. It's frightening. It's almost as though it's a metaphor for the breakdown, a breakdown of the entire administration. Disconnected from reality on all levels, doesn't understand what's going on in the financial sector, let alone any other sector, lives in a bubble, doesn't even know how bad this looks to the world with the shoes going at him. And then you go to the Madoff scandal. And I'm looking at the list, and this is interesting. This just came out a few seconds ago. They're asking in the Financial Times, where is Madoff's $50 billion loss? And it says, Madoff claims his venture lost over $50 billion over several years. And yet it says only half of the claimed $50 billion figure has been accounted for. They'd like to know where the other half is. That's what I'd like to know. But there are other implications, and this you're not going to like. You're not going to like what I'm about to tell you. The tax implications are such that the U.S. government is going to lose taxes in the billions of dollars. And number two, you're not going to believe this. Those who lost money in the scheme can write it off as a theft loss, where the entire loss becomes deductible, and you get to keep all of your income tax-free. Did you hear what I just said to you? Not only that, you probably paid, well, whatever. If you read the whole thing in detail, you can also write off some of the money that you paid in taxes in the past as a loss. So let's say you paid $500,000 in taxes over the past 3 years on gains that you made from Madoff's money. You can now write off those gains of $1.5 million as another loss. This is amazing to understand that many of the people who allegedly lost are actually going to make money, and that you, the taxpayer, is going to get screwed again because here it comes. They're bailing out some of the losers. That's right. According to a secret little fund that they have set up for big investors, they're going to be bailed out, some of them. So this whole thing stinks to high heaven. And it shows again how we have not only a two-tier system of justice, but there are people who have their own world of justice. Question, do you believe Madoff's sons did not know what he was doing? Number two, where is half of the money that Madoff claims he lost? Number three, do you think I'm right about the bodyguards having failed the president, yes or no? Okay? Let's take the callers. David in New York, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Right, Michael, you're absolutely right on the money about everything you said, and the cop and the other bodyguard that called. I'm not going to repeat what they said, but they're right on the money. And I'll go to the people that they hire nowadays. I teach SWAT teams at a martial arts school. There's no aggressiveness except maybe 10% of the guys. The other guys look at you.
Okay, there it is. There it is. Told not to look too macho. They've all been told not to scare anybody with drawn guns. Is that correct?
Absolutely correct. I'm looking at them, and you tell them, when in doubt, do something. I'm a former Green Beret. Don't stand there. Do something. I swear to God, 90% of them, they go through a door. They stand in a doorway. When you tell them, you know, that's where people get killed in the doorway, they stand there. It's unbelievable.
So this is all the political correctness, so to speak, that has now melted down even the Secret Service.
Yes, absolutely. Political.
And, you know, David, there's another element to this. One of the reasons I'm doing this on the show today is because I'm concerned about the safety of my president, whether I like his politics or not. I certainly don't want to see my president harmed. Now, this is sending a message to our enemies. Do you agree with me that they watched this and they probably shook their heads saying how easy it was to get to the president with the shoes?
The first thing that came to my mind was, what would Putin's bodyguards do? Putin would never.
Oh, my God. What? At the first of all, Putin's a martial artist. But, you know, you got to hand it to Bush. His reflexes were quick, correct?
Yes, I agree, because he jogs. That's why.
he jogged and he's in good shape, thank God. But you know that first shoe missed his eye by, it looks like centimeters?
Yes.
Okay, where did this Iraqi get such dead aim? Was it what he practiced throwing grenades at our troops? Why was he in that room to begin with?
Thank God it wasn't a knife.
Well, even a shoe. Couldn't a shoe, let's go back to the basics. You're a guy who teaches bodyguard. A shoe thrown with certain amount of velocity, could it blind the man?
Absolutely. Could have hit him in the eye. Absolutely.
Okay. So let's assume that the first shoe could get through because nobody expected it was a closed little group. Am I wrong in thinking that a good, trim, fit, athletic guard could have jumped from the side and blocked the second shoe?
Oh, absolutely. The first shoe, when it was first off, one of the Secret Service agents should have saw the guy stand up in an aggressive manner. They're supposed to be looking for that. As the shoe started to fly, I would have been able to either knock the shoe down or stand in front of the president from maybe 10 or 12 feet away.
It's something you'd see on a football field every day of the week, right? Somebody catching interfering with a pass, right? That's what you're talking about here.
A defensive back would actually run in front of that and knock the shoe down.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but I thought that Secret Service are the elite of the elite. Where were they?
I'll tell you what. I bet you none of them served in the SEALs, served in Special Forces, guaranteed.
Oh, my God in heaven. Well, I hope that they learn from this, and whoever's in charge replaces them for President Obama. Because the last thing this country needs right now is another problem along the lines of shoes being thrown at a leader, right or wrong?
You're absolutely right. I didn't vote for Obama, but I don't want somebody to assassinate him.
Thank you very much. That's exactly my point. We're in such trouble in this country that would be a disaster beyond any imagination. I pray to God that the people listening to this show understand exactly what we are saying. We want the president protected. We think that the team around the president in Iraq failed him miserably and that they should be replaced. That's all we're saying, David.
Absolutely. You're right on the money. So it's just like those two callers, right on the money.
Thanks, David. I appreciate it. I really do. So 1-800-449-8255. San Diego, Ryan, you're up on the Savage Nation. Your opinion, please.
Yes, hi, Dr. Savage. I wanted to talk about the shoe-throwing incident. I'm a former Marine. I worked on a detail that we worked with security forces and also worked with the Secret Service in multiple areas when we were guarding the president. And I'm just surprised because we were actually told when we were on one call, we were more of a visual force, and the Secret Service was set up around us. And we were told that if we made any moves, if something were to happen, we were supposed to actually lay down and not take up any action because we would be shot possibly by the Secret Service as well. I was just so surprised because this is such a contained environment that they were standing in. Did the guy take off the shoes during the meeting? Because somebody should have seen what his actions were and then stand up.
Okay, well, that's an interesting point. In other words, the eagle-eyed bodyguards should have noticed that right away, right at the point of the shoe coming off.
Exactly, yeah. And if the guy came in with his shoes off, then wouldn't that be something that would cause a red flag anyways? I mean, it would just be out of the ordinary.
Well, maybe journalists will have to appear in socks from now on at all presidential conferences. They'll join the rest of us at airports.
Perhaps. Yeah, that's right.
All right, Ryan, let me send you a free copy of my book for Christmas, Psychological Nudity. Get ready for some bad news, folks. It's going to make you really sick. It's making me ill. I want you to see what our country has come to. This just came out minutes ago. Judge signs order to protect Madoff investors. You're not believing what you're reading, but you're paying for it. A so-called federal judge signed an order today saying investors who may have been duped in one of Wall Street's biggest frauds need the protection of the Securities Investor Protection Act. Judge Louis Stanton also directed that proceedings to liquidate the assets of Bernard L. Madoff Investment Securities, LLC, be moved to bankruptcy court. The order was signed this afternoon after the Securities Investor Protection Corp submitted papers asking for the protection for investors. Judge Stanton assigned Irvin Picard to preside as trustee over the liquidation. The order came just days after federal prosecutors charged Madoff with securities fraud, saying he had admitted squandering nearly $50 billion for investors in a massive Ponzi scheme. This is all wrong. This is all wrong. I'm sorry. And I'll tell you why it's all wrong. If you make an investment that fails, You're supposed to eat it, Johnson. That's what risk is. But moreover, if you put money into a hedge fund, which you know is a high-risk fund, which is not protected by any government agency, what in the world? What do you mean bail them out? What in the heck is happening to our country that people can literally make up acts to protect themselves after the fact? What kind of nation is this that will protect the very wealthy and make we the people eat dirt? This is sickening. I'm totally against this order. This judge should be thrown off the bench. He should be impeached. I agree that this judge should be impeached. A federal judge signed an order to protect Madoff investors. Agree or disagree? Do you think these people deserve to be protected by the Securities Investor Protection Act? Yes or no? Phone number 1-800-449-8255. We're talking about a very big story here. We're also talking about the shoe incident in Iraq, where the president was almost hit in the eye twice by a so-called Iraqi journalist. This is not a joke. This is very serious. The incident in its entirety can be played in clip 18. You have the 18, please? Let's hear 18. Yeah, well, it's neither here nor there, but if you saw it, I watched it yesterday morning, and interestingly enough, NBC had the feed first. I went over to Fox. They didn't have it. They were running an ad for some sneakers, I think. Then I went over to the other channel. They were running an ad for some kind of a sanitary product. I had to go back to NBC to see it over, and they kept looping it. And the more I watched it, the more I saw I was in disbelief. I thought it was made up. I thought it was like a Saturday Night Live, Sarah Palin, Faye thing. I thought they're making this up. I said, that's actually happening to the president of the United States in a closed PR room with journalists? The whole thing didn't make sense. And I'm going to tell you right now, that's going to be President Bush's legacy. The poor man has had everything collapse around himself. So he stages a last-minute trip to Iraq to try to create some kind of video remembrances, like a video memoir of how good things were when he left, when we all know, God forbid, something terrible is liable to happen in 3 months from now. All right, but he's a president. He's allowed to do what he wants. And in that room, a guy throws shoes at him. Thank God the president's fit, and he ducks, and they miss. We are talking, though, about the complete and total failure of his security team on every level. Every level, I mean, they put out a PR release saying that the Secret Service did a great job. Do you think the Secret Service did the right job or the wrong job or just about the right job or just about the wrong job? I want the American people to speak out on this. Chicago, Matt, welcome to the program. Your opinion, please.
Yeah, my opinion is kind of like a conspiracy theory, just a little one about the shoe-throwing incident, because it's too convenient that this guy got through to the Secret Service. So maybe that this was kind of a setup by the Bush administration or our little CIA group over there. Because also, if you watch the tape, you notice whoever it is, the Iraqi prime minister, whoever's next to Bush.
Malarkey, the prime minister, Mr. Malarkey.
Malarkey. He does not react at all. He doesn't flinch an inch. So it's almost like he knew that this was going to happen. And
well, wait a minute. That's interesting. You know, I call him Malarkey. His name is Malarkey, but I call him Malarkey for obvious reasons. But why would they have staged such an event?
And that's a good question. Why would they do that? But usually the reason why these type of events are staged is for a distraction from some other event that's going on in the U.S. or around the world.
Oh, God, please. Well, you want to take your theory and run with it. I don't agree with you. But President Bush to say that's okay that he threw the shoes at him? Well, listen to clip. Stay on the line. Play clip 19.
So what if the guy threw a shoe at me? I consider it an important step on the road toward an Iraq that can sustain itself, govern itself, and defend itself. But let me talk about the guy throwing the shoe. Is one way to gain attention.
I'm sorry to tell you, this is the worst message the president ever could have sent. Is he saying to people out there listening to this around the world that it's okay to throw things at a president? Are you aware of the fact that if you did that in the United States of America, you'd go to jail for 5 to 10 years, and rightly so? Any idea how bad this is?
Oh, I agree 100%, but the fact is, it's like, how could that happen? How could the guard be down on the Secret Service so bad? It's almost like you said, it's almost like we were watching a movie or something that was staged, and maybe if it seems so staged, Maybe it was, because, again, those Secret Service guys were doing nothing for like 5 seconds. And it was.
All right, let's take your theory for the minute. I don't agree with you on the face of it. It doesn't make sense, but anything's possible in this world. But the speeches thereafter saying it's okay, and this shows that Iraq is on the road to recovery, is this to show that we're not quick to be cowboys anymore? We're no longer Abu Ghraib Americans. We don't jump on people. We believe in free expression. Is that what you think that this is all about?
Well, it could be. Well, look at the Iraqi people. They're so free now. They have freedom of the press. They have freedom of expression. You know, in Saddam's reign, this guy would have been taken out and shot in the head immediately. But no, not in the new Iraq that we've created. It's so democratic.
Well, don't get me started on the new Iraq. They cost us $1 trillion, which they should pay us back through oil revenue. That's the cost of liberating these people, these ungrateful Iraqis. I still don't know why we don't demand the reparations from them. Do you have any idea, Matt?
I don't have any legitimate factual information, but
no. It cost us about $1 trillion to liberate these Iraqis. They're rolling in a surplus of $700 million. We're suffering here with bankruptcy, and they're not asked to pay a nickel in it. Why not? Matt, thanks for the call. 1-800-449-8255. One last quick call before the break. Joe in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Mike, I work with the Secret Service on presidential protection details in Washington, D.C., including the Kennedy Center.
Mm-hmm.
And I trained at the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center in Glencoe, Georgia with them. And when we were in training, we used to refer to them as the Secret Circus. And they referred to themselves as the Secret Circus. And on presidential protection details, particularly at the Kennedy Center when we had affairs there, we were trained that if someone bent down or reached into a bag or did anything other than what they should be doing, that we would focus on those people and we were ready to pounce on them.
Mm-hmm.
For these agents in this situation, to allow somebody to bend down, come up with a shoe, and then fling it at the President of the United States twice, not once, but twice, and without any interference is just amazing to me. But it's expected, given what's happened with law enforcement, particularly the federal agencies.
Well, let's talk about it as a metaphor for the breakdown of the entire federal government.
Well,
here's shoes being thrown, and the Secret Service does nothing. Here are people ripping off the taxpayer for trillions of dollars, and the SEC does nothing. Okay? There's a metaphor here, Joe. Thanks for the call. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Fix is in. All of the media outlets are saying security forces pounce on an Iraqi journalist who threw shoes. They failed him. But the biggest story is the Arab world hails shoe attack as Bush's farewell gift. We're putting it up on michaelsavage.com. It's disgusting as far as I'm concerned. Here you have a nation that was living under the despotism of Saddam Hussein. Rape rooms, whole villages destroyed, people killed. I don't go through the litany of what Saddam did to keep the Shia oppressed in Iraq during his dictatorial reign, what he and his mad sons did. So the country is liberated. Now they have freedom, and they hate America. They hate the American military presence. And you have to ask yourself, is Iran behind the shoe guy? Because the shoe guy says he's hired by a Cairo-based news outlet, so to speak. If you can call any outlet in Cairo as a news outlet. It's a propaganda outfit. But it says that they're all cheering for him. In fact, Saddam's ex-lawyer says he's going to represent him for free, and he has 200 lawyers now who want to defend this guy. 200 lawyers, including American lawyers, have offered their services for free to protect the shoe thrower, to show you the country we're living in. But then you go down to the story, and it gets even worse. I mean, the fact of the matter is, this guy attempted to harm a head of state, meaning the President of the United States. And yet our own president is saying that it's a light act and the Secret Service did a great job. And he screams, you dog, at our president. You know what would happen to you if you did that in this country to the President of the United States? The Secret Service would flatten you like a planarian worm run over by a Mack truck. I don't buy the whole story. Something stinks. to high heaven with the whole picture. Something's wrong with this picture. We're also talking about Madoff and where's the money that he made off with.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Shoe that he threw.
The point is, ladies and gentlemen, that greed, for lack of a better word, is good.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday? Got to work, like a slave all day. He'll come to
the... We are talking about the shoe incident in Iraq and what it says about the breakdown in the presidential protection detail. We're also talking about the alleged $50 billion scheme by Bernie Madoff, and how did that happen? I've shocked you to tell you that a federal judge, so-called in New York, has said they should be protected by federal bailout money, in essence, which I find to be shocking. You know, you take a chance with a hedge fund and you lose money and you want me to pay for your loss? I never heard of anything like this. So those are some of the stories that you can call 1-800-449 about or read about them on michaelsavage.com. I understand that there's a big furor here in San Francisco because a new airline's come to town. It's Emirates Airline. It'll be flying nonstop from SFO to Dubai and back three times a week. But all of the tongues are wagging, the pink tongues are wagging here, because there are certain tough rules that are enforced. Openly gay male attendants need not apply to work on Emirates Airline. And premarital sex and homosexuality are both illegal in Dubai. Pregnant women will not be able to apply as flight attendants. There's also a weight requirement for women who will work on the airline. Well, I have never really wanted to fly to Dubai, and I don't think I'll start today, but I'll actually consider it. It might be the first pleasant flight I've had in over 10 years coming out of San Francisco. New York City, WOR, David, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Mike, only a lemming or a knave would think that only one person was involved with Madoff. I entered Wall Street in the late 70s as a trader. I've been trading ever since. I tell you that the SEC's involved here. FINRA is involved. For those of your listeners that don't know who FINRA is, they are the successor to the NESD. One of the reasons why I'm hoarse is because I trade all day. I've been doing this for about 30 years.
Well, Dave, look, you're a guy on the inside here. You listen to the show. You know that I'm not a crackpot here. Something's wrong with the picture. When I read the whole story and I heard he turned himself, his sons turned him in, does that make sense to you?
Mike, anybody would know in the inside that you need compliance officers, you need a FinOp, you need a general securities op. These are people that take the Series 24 exam, Series 27 exam, options principal exam. This is all nonsense.
Here's a late story. New hope from Madoff investors. Judge signs orders to shield investors duped in one of Wall Street's biggest frauds on the Securities Investor Protection Act. Does that sound legal to you?
Not only is it illegal, SIPC stands for Securities Investor Protection Corporation. It's supposed to be for people who bought and sold stocks and had account balances at failed brokerages, and this is after liquidations take place. Most of these people were running in Bernie's hedge funds. I used to deal a lot with MADF on the NASDAQ. They traded, they made markets along with me and my firm in many stocks, and these guys kept the widest spreads out there. When other people, including my own firm, tried to keep narrow spreads, these firms came out with the wide spreads. Do you know that for years, the NESD and the success of FINRA, they prevented smaller firms from cutting spreads. For years, there was a movement to change security trading into decimals, and they always said, we can't do it, because the computers can't take decimals. So for years, it stayed as quarters.
Well, let's go back to the $50 billion alleged fraud, okay, and the judge suddenly signing an order to protect Madoff investors. Does he have the authority to take taxpayer money and give it to these people who gambled with a hedge fund and lost?
Absolutely not. It's not meant for hedge fund investors.
So how is he getting away with it? The article says a federal judge on Monday threw a lifesaver to investors who may have been duped, blah, blah, blah. U.S. District Judge Lewis Stand. So you're saying he's part of the same gang?
Part of the same gang. Go take a look, Mike, at the revolving door between the SEC, Merrill Lynch, big brokerage firm auditors. Go take a look at what happened.
All right, so it's a giant scam run by the U.S. government. Why is Chris Cox there? But I've asked for months, why is Chris Cox still there? Bush put him there. I've never seen the reason he's still in the job. You have banks melting down. You have investment firms melting down. You have bailout money that's being hidden. You've got the biggest crook of them all, in my opinion, who happens to be none other than the Treasury Secretary. How does this end, David?
Mike, you can't even stop there. Keep going, Mike. What about Alan Greenspan and Ben Bernanke? And these guys were given a printing press with paper, and they're pumping out dollars.
So, Dave, you're an honest broker. You don't agree with Madoff in that 2007 tape that I played where he said, this is a business where you're supposed to make as much money as you can. Somebody wins and somebody loses. That's not the thinking that I know of in business.
That wants to make money can let other people make
bottom money. Line, is this guy going to go to jail or not?
This guy will do time, and there'll be just no way out of it. But the problem is,
well, where's the money? What about the money? Where is the money? I don't believe his sons were insulated from what the father was doing one floor above them in the lipstick building. Do you?
The money is going to show up in far-flung charities, in far-flung countries, in far-flung accounts spread out all over the place.
David, I want you to become my broker. I'm sending you a copy of Psychological Nudity. You're a broker I trust. Certainly I have faith in a system. I didn't say the whole system is bad. It's like 3% of the priests were molesters. It doesn't mean that every broker is like Bernie Madoff. Stay in a line. Free copy of Psychological Nudity goes out to you for Christmas, for Hanukkah, for whatever, Ramadan even. I'll be right back. You know, I don't feel we had a clear choice in this election. The candidates we had to choose from felt like we were being forced once again to choose between the lesser of two evils, only we weren't sure which one was the lesser of two evils. Do you realize that Obama's margin of victory didn't come from the left? It came from the conservatives. Joel Mowbray with the Washington Times has written an article entitled Transition Tracker, Why Obama Will Need Conservatives to Govern, and it explains why Obama will have to lead more from the center in order to keep his support. Joel Mowbray, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Michael, thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
Let's hear some detail on your article.
Well, Obama, contrary to popular belief that has kind of sprung up since the election, did not win because of an increase in liberals or youth voters. He had a small uptick in each. He had about a 1% increase of the overall electorate who were liberals and or young people. And, of course, there's a lot of overlap there. So really we're talking about maybe 1.5% of the electorate was more inclined to Obama than, say, 4 years ago. But for the most part, the rest of it was actually people who had voted for George W. Bush who still identified themselves as conservatives or as your typical center-right swing voters. And so there are two key groups that abandoned John McCain in much larger numbers than I think anyone really foresaw. Now, by the way, What didn't happen was a loss of white evangelical Christians. They voted for McCain in the exact same percentage that they did for George W. Bush 4 years ago. And this is the group where people thought for sure McCain won't be able to match simply because, you know, he's not conservative enough, he has a checkered history. It was actually with the people who are not as strongly identified with being right-wing, intellectual-leaning conservatives. Intellectual conservatives, you had, of course, security moms and then Catholics, especially religious Catholics, but other Catholics as well, who had become key Republican or key GOP constituencies who still see themselves as conservative or conservative-leaning, but who this time voted for Barack Obama. So the reason he has to govern to the center, or at least close to the center, Michael, is that otherwise these people who supported him this time around, they won't support him in 4 years because they still see things the way they did 4 years ago when they voted for the reelection of George W. Bush.
Well, a lot of people feel McCain was the absolute wrong candidate for the GOP.
You know, there's this belief that, well, the Republicans should have gone even more moderate than McCain. He could have been that guy, but then he got too conservative. And then the people in the middle, they just went, oh, no, and they ran away from John McCain. But the facts in the exit polling don't bear this out. The country is almost exactly as center-right as it was 4 years ago. People have changed their party identification, not their belief system. The fundamental question you can ask to determine a liberal versus a conservative is the following. Is the government doing too much already, or does it need to do more? Now, 4 years ago, it was 49% to 46% plurality who were against more activist government, okay? But you would still have 46% of the country that said they wanted more government involvement in society. Today, in 2008, with nonstop screaming from the New York Times, the Washington Post, from ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC, and others, that it was the unfettered free markets. It was this rampant laissez-faire rich eat the poor economics, that if only government had stepped in, Michael, the little guy would have been saved and we wouldn't be in this mess. Never mind, of course, that reality doesn't bear this out. Freddie and Fannie played at least as big a role as anything else in the colossal breakdown that we had in the financial markets. There are other factors at play, but clearly that was a main component. This time around, with all of that in the very recent background when people went to the ballot box, only 51% of the public said that the government needed to do more in society. So while Obama's voters were overwhelmingly in favor of more activist government, more than one-fifth of the people who supported him – you can't ignore that kind of constituency – more than one-fifth of the people who supported him said that the government was already doing too much. So Obama has to keep that in mind as he does everything from an auto industry bailout to tax cuts for the – or tax hikes for the quote-unquote wealthy, because those people who voted for him, they still think the government can't do anything to help. And in fact, the government should be doing less. They voted for Obama really as a rejection of John McCain more than anything else.
Was there enough conservative voters for Obama out there to keep him honest?
Barack Obama would not be president today if he didn't win over the 20% of conservatives who voted for him, or the significant numbers increases he enjoyed versus 2004 with security moms, you know, these married mothers with children who were drawn to the hawkishness of the GOP post 9/11, as well as religious Catholics, especially, that these groups, that the Republican Party simply cannot win a majority coalition without them. But they're pretty key constituencies. These are not groups that swing easily over to the Democratic fold. And the problem is that the Republican Party lost its way. They lost its way on spending, but also even on taxes. What you don't have is a Republican Party that is committed to principle, and I think that is why you had so many people who abandoned the party. Think about that, Michael. 20% of self-identified conservatives voted for Barack Obama. That was significantly more, one-third more than John Kerry enjoyed. And when self-identified conservatives are 34% of the electorate, They're more than 50% bigger as a share of the voting pool than self-described liberals. They make up now 22% of the electorate. So what matters is conservatives above all else. And the media doesn't want to tell you that, and the Democrats certainly don't want to tell you that. But I think Barack Obama saw these numbers. That's why you had Rahm Emanuel as the White House Chief of Staff. That's why you had Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State. I think you and I probably both could spend a long time, Michael, going through the things we don't like about Hillary or the Clintons generally. However, I think that Hillary Clinton was probably the best choice that that could have been made for purposes of hawkishness, for security, for making America safer.
Well, what do you think this means for the so-called Republican Party?
You know, Michael, I think that's a great question. What does this mean for the Republican Party? Well, I think it means if the Republican Party wants to be able to get back to the majority position in America again, it can't do so by running to the center. It can only do so by being principled conservatives. This means you have an open, optimistic view of conservatism like Ronald Reagan. You have to have, I think, a friendly visage, but you also need to have principles that mean something, not just about you getting into power and then holding on to power. That's a fundamentally flawed approach to governance, and that's why the Republicans lost. That's why people, I'm sure that you and I both know, and across the listening audience, including many people in the listening audience, who said, to hell with the Republicans. You know, I supported them because they actually seemed like they meant something, and maybe for the first few congressional cycles they did. After that, it was lust for power, no principle, no philosophical backbone. They screwed us, and they damaged the conservative movement. You know, how do you argue against that? If you look at that record that the Republicans amassed, yes, there were some good legislative achievements. Not to say it was all bad, but there was enough bad that, you know, you can start to say, well, do I want somebody who's really going to do damage to something I care about while doing maybe a few good things? Or just get the guys, put it all on them, and if they do damage, you know what? We can convince everybody to vote them out. And I think the latter is where many more conservatives came down and right-leaning swing voters, and that's why Barack Obama won. And the only way he gets back is by doing that again. Is by hanging on to those people by being in the center. The Republicans have to be on the right to show that they are the true vanguards of conservative principles that are popular: limited governments, lower taxes, lighter regulation, but effective, smarter regulation, not just less red tape, but better red tape. And I think the Republicans are the right ones to do that.
Joel Mowbray, thanks for being on The Savage Nation.
Michael, as always, this was entertaining and a lot of fun. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Savage.
Here in the city, everybody, a lot of newspaper coverage directed toward Caroline Kennedy. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I had great admiration and respect for the Kennedy family. As a matter of fact, Ted Kennedy and I have become very good friends.
You loser, you.
Get
off the stage.
So I think it would be a
wise
choice.
Open a shoe store in Bangladesh. What a loser. I don't believe this guy. He sounded like a schmuck during the campaign. And you know what? McCain sounds like a bigger schmuck after the man Kane. A front man for the establishment. He was set up to fall. I knew it all along, and I know it more now today. Here's some news stories. List of Bernie Madoff victims grows, including big mogul Maud Zuckerman. Maud Zuckerman knows everything, but Madoff apparently took him to the cleaners. Steven Spielberg, big genius from Hollywood, knew everybody, knew everything, but apparently he was also taken by Bernie Madoff. Here's another little story for you. Caroline Kennedy. Now, what are her qualifications to run for the U.S. Senate? Can anyone explain that to me? Can anyone explain to me what Caroline Kennedy's qualifications are to run for the U.S. Senate? Because I can find absolutely none. What is her background? Tell me what she's done that would qualify her to be one of 100 representatives. Tell me. Tell me exactly why she should be senator from New York. Answer, there is no reason other than the fact that the entire system is one of nepotism. One of nepotism from the top to the bottom. The phone number here on these or other topics is 1-800-449-8255. We were also talking earlier about the shoe incident in Iraq where President Bush deftly ducked two shoes and his Secret Service agent stood there like doofuses doing nothing. We'll take any of those topics right here on the Savage Nation. Frank in Miami Beach, what are you calling on? Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, this of all nights is a perfect one to get in touch with you. I hear about these people make their investments, and that's okay. And this guy steals their money. Well, that happens. But me, with a quarter that dropped in front of a bus driver, went out. I get thrown off the bus because I lost a quarter. And now I hear that these people got to get a refund.
That's correct. A so-called federal judge in New York hours ago signed an order saying they're entitled to a bailout. Each and every one of these rich people is going to get a bailout up to a certain amount from the federal government because the federal government is in on the scam as far as I am concerned. They are absolutely part and parcel of this ripoff. That's my opinion. The SEC is indictable. Chris Cox is indictable. The whole thing stinks, Steve, Frank. The whole thing sucks.
Several months ago, Dr. Savage, right before all this mortgage stuff went nuts, I was talking to a friend, and we were figuring, well, all these guys got all this money. Now, what are they going to do with it? And my friend Levin said, yeah, but the dollar's only worth 43 cents. And it hit me. I said, they're going to raise the value of the dollar. And how do you do that?
They've actually lowered the value of the dollar. Every time they bail someone out, they reduce the value of the dollar, Frank. Look, let me send you a Christmas present, psychological nudity. The key political contributions of Bernard Madoff is up on michaelsavage.com. Do you know that he gave $100,000? To the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee, of which Charles Schumer was the head at the time of these donations. Do you know that it was Charles Schumer who resisted every attempt at regulating the gangsters of Wall Street? Do you understand that if we lived in a fair country, it would not only be Madoff being visited by the FBI, but Schumer would be arrested. He would be in handcuffs. He'd be given a perp walk. There are others involved. Who else received money or received money from Bernie Madoff? Hillary Clinton, John Corzine, Gary Ackerman, Christopher Dodd. Charles Schumer, Alphonse D'Amato, Frank Lautenberg, Richard Gephardt, Edward Markey, John Dingell, Edward Markey, Charles Rangel, Frank Lautenberg, Bill Bradley. The entire assemblage of Democrats received money with the exception of one, which was Alphonse D'Amato, who has no power whatsoever right now. Madoff because he bought off the watchers. Remember I did a show months ago in Latin, Who Will Watch the Watchers? Does anyone remember that? Who will watch the watchers? The answer is we have no watchers. They're all gone. Cape Cod, Georgia, on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Mike. I'm a firm believer in follow the money completely.
Yeah. Okay.
In the case of Bernie and, of course, the Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae losers.
Yes.
They all did the same thing. Who did they sell to? Part of the people they sold to were the international mobs.
Wait a minute. Let me see if I follow you. Right now, an analysis that we put up on my website says that there's about $25 to $30 billion of the $30 billion. Nobody knows where the money is. What are you suggesting?
The point is, he's got money. Bernie has money. Why did his family, why does he suddenly go public? Because he can't run any place. He's looking for protection. And that's the same thing happened.
Saying because he conned people who are in the underworld as well through various and sundry front companies that his life is in danger, so he's begging the government to protect him?
Absolutely. You can go to Brighton Beach, you have the Russian mob, and then go up Ocean Parkway. They're there.
So you think he took some of their money as well?
Of course he did, because he sold it. He sold goods. And the same thing happened with the Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae scandal. They broke it up into derivatives. They sold something which was worthless. And if you know anything about the mob won't bother you if you sell an item. It's worth something. But if it's not worth anything, the mob wants its payment.
Well, I'm not following you exactly, truthfully, George. I think you kind of know what you're saying, and I can't follow it. But when I read that Steven Spielberg lost 70% of a foundation that he ran, when I read that the genius Maude Zuckerman, apparently his charity lost $30 million to the swindler Bernard Madoff, when I read that Elie Wiesel, the Holocaust Nobel laureate, that his foundation lost money, what does that tell you about these people? You know what it says? It says that a schmuck is born every minute. How's that? Is that a takeoff on the statement that says a sucker is born every minute? How about we'll go to the next one? A schmuck is born every minute. Does that work for you, George?
Well, he doesn't really care about them.
That's correct, and I thank you for your insights. But let me say this. We did an earlier version of this in the first hour of the show, which you really have to listen for. I mean, I had one of the best first hours ever today, where I did the psychosis and the psychology of the con man and the conned. And we had an author on who runs in the circles of Palm Beach. He could not get into the club. Neither could I. He's a liberal. I'm a conservative. But both of us agreed on certain things. We both agreed that we need regulation on Wall Street, and we don't have it because there is no regulation. The regulators have been bought off by these guys, these con men, bought off the regulators. And as an earlier caller, a broker said, it's a revolving door between brokerages and the SEC. Never before in American history have we seen such a breakdown of law and order as we have right now under George Bush. Never. Never in history have we seen such a breakdown as we have under George Bush. But let's go to the next step. Why would a judge today come up with some cockamamie story that these people are entitled to a bailout under some obscure act that was never meant to bail out people who put money into a hedge fund? It was meant to pay people back up to $500,000 each for failed security firms, failed brokerages, never hedge funds. Moreover, if these people were living on 12, 15% a year, now all of a sudden they find out that they have nothing, I'm supposed to pay them back with federal money? Not in a million years. Something's wrong with the whole picture. It stinks from top to bottom, honest to God. And that goes back to why is Caroline Kennedy qualified to be a senator? The answer is because she's no better or no worse than the rest of them. They're all unqualified as far as I'm concerned. 95% of the U.S. senators are nothing but bagmen for moneyed interests. We're living in the equivalent of a banana republic? Well, we don't even raise bananas. We're in a web republic. How's that for a new one? We're living in a web republic where the only thing anyone makes anymore is a website. New York City, WR. Steve, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Mike. Caroline Kennedy is qualified because she has the one qualification that any politician needs. She can raise huge amounts of money. That's what she's there for.
Well, why doesn't Bernie Madoff run for the Senate in that seat? He can raise more money than her. He can come up with a new scheme.
The Kennedy name equals gold. You can't go wrong with the Kennedy name, even in New York.
So it's all about bringing money into the scheme, into the Ponzi scheme called the U.S. Senate.
You need money to win elections, and she can raise lots of it. Bingo.
All right, there it is. That's all. So the Ponzi scheme goes on. 1-800-449-8255. North Carolina. Steve, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, I just wanted to say I think it's a bit unusual that Carolyn Kennedy is being brought up as a white woman to replace a white woman's seat, similar to Jesse Jackson Jr. being brought up to replace a black man's seat.
Oh, I see. It's now done by ethnic and gender breakdown.
That's what I'm asking. Are we no longer looking at potentially the best candidate?
No. We're looking at affirmative action candidates that have to fill certain roles. I guess you're right. I guess that's a seat filled by the carpetbagger Hillary Clinton to begin with. You know, that liberal seat was originally held by a white liberal senator named Patrick Moynihan. You know that.
I did not know that.
That seat was classically the liberal senator from New York, and it was Patrick Moynihan, who was, by the way, a very balanced liberal. He was not one of these extreme left-wing whack jobs. He was extremely reasonable, Moynihan. The young Kennedy was supposed to run, if you remember. He died in a tragic plane crash. Do you remember that one?
JFK Jr., absolutely.
Thank you. And to this day, people wonder why he died in a plane crash. And then suddenly enter from stage left the carpetbagger Hillary Clinton, who moves to Chappaquiddick, and next you know she's running for the presidency. That's a whole story that only a novelist could write. I can't write it. But now you see she's suddenly Secretary of State, and now they want to fill it with a shoo-in. Why shouldn't it go to a Puerto Rican or a black person rather than Caroline Kennedy? Huh?
About Hillary Clinton, by the way. Wasn't she from Arkansas?
I don't know where she's from. They're all from the same place. It's from a place I've never been. And it's a far, far better place that I never want to go to. 1-800-449-8255, New York City, Ray, WOR. Go ahead, please. Topic of the day. What is the topic you're calling about?
I'm calling about the shoe incident, Mike.
The Iraqi who threw shoes at the president. What's your opinion?
Yes, I'm involved in executive protection, and I've worked with the Secret Service. And somewhere Al-Qaeda saw that tape and is salivating. That somebody.
Well, okay, look,
there.
I'm not an expert in this in these matters, but I do know they failed him. Do you agree with me that the Secret Service should have, A, seen the man reaching for his shoes and stopped him, or B, once the first shoe was launched, a bodyguard should have leapt in front of it like a football player and blocked the president from being hit by it?
Yes, and I'm also thinking that all of them are either going to get transferred or suspended.
Well, they put out a press release that they did showed great restraint. They didn't pull a gun. Is that ever? I never saw a doublespeak like this in my life. It was the biggest breakdown in the history of the Secret Service as far as this man is concerned, Ray. I'm sorry. It doesn't add up. Something's wrong with this.
It might have also been a dry run, and if it was, it was very successful.
Oh, my God. Well, I want to remind everyone listening to this show how dangerous press conferences are in the third world. It was the head of the Northern Alliance, who was our single most important ally in Afghanistan, who was killed by a so-called journalist who had been screened, gone through bomb detectors, walked into the cave to do an interview for him with him, and his camera was a bomb, and it killed the head of the Northern Alliance, and that's when Afghanistan collapsed the first time. Ray, do you remember that story at all?
I sure do. Everybody.
All right. So how did this Iraqi who hates America, who hates George Bush, get into that room to begin with? Who in the Secret Service did the vetting?
Exactly. How did he?
Well, okay, let's go all the way back to that. Who let them into the room? Who let that man into the room? You see, the whole system is broken down, Ray. Just as Wall Street has nothing but vultures and crooks on it right now, let's say nothing, I don't mean nothing but a large preponderance of unregulated crooks are running wild on Wall Street because the SEC, which is supposed to protect us, is not doing its job. They're looking the other way. It seems to me every aspect of the federal government is broken. I have no other answer for it. But let's get down to brass tacks. The first shoe, let's say, could have been thrown, not the second. The Secret Service should be fired, every last one of them. They should be pounding a beat, well, anywhere in America. Okay? Ray, thanks for the call. 1-800-449-8255. Any other topic is fair game. I'll be right back.
Savage.
That this SPIC organization was set up only to bail out failed brokerages. Now a judge, part of the Old Girl Network out of New York, says with the stroke of a pen that he wants this SIPC money to cover the Bernie Madoff investment scam, which I don't know how in the world they're going to get away with doing this. The fact of the matter is that this SIPC is taxpayer money. It should not be used for this. These people gambled in hedge funds. They enjoy 12 to 15% returns each and every year. I'm supposed to bail them out because this guy was a crook? Here's an article from the Post from this morning. A neighbor of Madoff's Upper East Side penthouse said he saw the alleged con artist looking forlorn and puffing a cigar by his window at 3 a.m. yesterday. His wife, Ruth, came and cradled his head in her arms. How touching. The Sopranos, huh? No comment was all son Andrew Madoff, the director of trading at his father's Bernard L. Madoff Investments, said outside his East 75th Street apartment. Andrew and his brother Mark turned in their debt after he confessed to them. I don't believe a word of it. That part of the story makes no sense at all. I believe that this is all a scam. The whole thing's a scam, and I want to know where the rest of the money is. And I hope that, well, who am I going to turn to? Who's going to actually give me or you the truth as to where the money is? You think this guy Madoff is going to spend a day in jail? Come on. Don't be stupid. There's a triple standard of justice in this country. If you have enough money, you can get away with murder in this country. You know that, and I know it. And you know something? I watch enough of these shows on TV, like Inside Prisons and this and that. And you say, oh, look at the guy with the tattoos. You know, a good percentage of the people in there are on low-level drug charges. And then they get involved in a fight in jail to save their lives or to save their honor. And then another 10 years is added. The next thing you know, they're in for 30 years when they went in for a marijuana cigarette. Now, what is that all about? You think Bernie Madoff is ever going to go behind bars for a second? And you think he's the only scam artist in America who belongs behind bars on Devil's Island? Ah, forget about it. The whole thing's rotten. And I'm not the only one saying it. I'm not doing it to act like Mr. Populist. It makes me sick. I'm not a poor man. Let me tell you right now. I don't have 10 cents in the stock market. I didn't lose 10 cents. I learned a long time ago that Harpo Marx was right. Because when Harpo Marx was asked, what do you think about the stock market? He says, I prefer casinos because they have cold drinks and women. I have exactly the same sentiments, and I don't even go to casinos. I don't gamble at all. I have no desire to gamble. I outgrew it at age 11. The desire to gamble came on at age 10, and it ended at 11. I had a card game in my house in Queens with a little fake roulette wheel. I made about $12 a week on it, and then it came out, it left my system. So if you gamble, whether it be at the racetrack or with a bookie, whatever you do, you lose money, you want me to pay you? That's just what happened here. This was gambling. They are not investors, per se. They are gamblers. Just because they paid to a country, a guy they met at a country club in Boca Raton, in Palm Beach? I don't care where they met the guy. They were gambling. They lost. Too bad. Let him go to jail. Let them recover the money. And let them disperse it out according to bankruptcy rules. You know, the secured creditors and unsecured. It's not my problem. I'm sorry they lost money, but you know what? They were riding real high last week. They were laughing at you and me. They were spitting on you and me. They wouldn't let you near the Palm Beach Country Club. You couldn't get in that club. You couldn't even serve a drink in that club, let alone talk to the great Bernie Madoff. You think you could have been ushered over to Bernie Madoff? He was such a smooth operator that you had to know someone who knew someone who might have known someone who could get you near Bernie Madoff. And according to callers to the Savage Nation earlier, the way he worked it was, you'd say, oh, Mr. Madoff, may I kiss your ring? Can I put my life fortune in with you? And he'd say, no, don't put in, how much, yeah, you ought to put in $2 million. You know, that's that small, put in $100,000 today, and we'll see if you do well, you come back with more. So he suckered them. They put in $100,000, they made $150,000, they made $15,000 year one. They ran to him with their grandchild's inheritance. Now here's $10 million. All right, I'll take it from you. Don't worry. It'll go to good. I give away plenty of money. I'm such a good man. I'm good. We're all good here. We're all good people. We're not bad. We're not like the evil outside. We're good. We're all good people.
Savage.